This Christmas at Asda, you can save a third on a fantastic range of quality wines. There's something for everyone, including champagne, sparkling, red, white and rosé wines. Cheers to that. Selected Asda stores and lines subject to availability. 75cl. Offer ends 1st of January. Drink aware.
Just imagine winning the lottery this Christmas.
Winning it around Christmas, like, you could just do Christmas on a whole different level, couldn't you?
I mean, I'm already buzzing. It's Christmas.
Yeah, I'm already
having the best time ever. And now I've won this as well. Who's the first person you'd tell? You'd have to tell your family straight away, I think.
Yeah, of course. I'd scream so loud that the whole of the street would know.
Everybody would know straight away with me. But you wouldn't believe it. I'd keep checking and checking.
Go on. Just imagine a win this Christmas. The National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. John Scott, the All-Star man. John
Scott, the family man. Thank you for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Dropping the Glove special episode. My goodness, I say that a lot, but it means a lot. I got a Detroit Red Wing on the show today. He is in Michigan with me. I wish we were together, Jordan. I really do. I haven't had a face-to-face interview since I interviewed another Detroit Red Wing guy, tough guy, Luke Witkowski. Yeah, he was up here in Traverse City.
Yeah, I think I saw that one. So
The first fan of the show, I think, maybe. Yeah, maybe this summer when you come up, Travis, we'll do a show at a brewery. But thank you for coming on, Jordan. Is it Oosterly?
Oosterly.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how Cider likes to say it because it's German. So
so he does Oos, but it's O.
Yeah, it's O. Yeah.
Speaking of Cider, he was on the show. Can I now tell him that I have the best Detroit Red Wing defenseman on? He's second best.
Yeah. I'll tell him that you said that.
Because, you're much better than he is. But thank you for coming on. You're with the Detroit Red Wings. The reason you're on the show is because we're doing a little GLI special. The GLI is coming up right after Christmas. Everybody, it's a fantastic tournament. Everybody in college hockey knows it. Maybe my listeners don't, but you're a former GLI champion. It's a big deal having you on. You've played in two of them. You're from Western Michigan University. Mm-hmm. We'll touch on that in a little bit. Do you know, a little trivia, I played in four GLIs. Guess how many games I've won? You played 8 because you're guaranteed 2 games. How many games do you think I won?
I'm going to go with 3.
You would be false. It would be 0, Jordan.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, 0-8. Can you believe that?
We lost to Michigan Tech one of my years. So
you're a lot younger than I am. You're 30 years old. I'm 40. So we don't need to talk about that. But that was when Michigan Tech, we were so bad. Now we're decent. Tech's actually come a long way since I left. I like to say I helped build the program, but I didn't. Anyways, more about you. Playing for the Detroit Red Wings. Let's talk about Western Michigan. You played for Detroit Bell Tire.
Yeah.
Never got drafted.
Nope.
Did you have any aspirations about getting drafted? Because you were putting up decent points at Detroit Bell Tire. Mm-hmm. Did you get any sniffs? Did anybody, knock on your door saying, maybe Jordan?
Not really. When I was on Bell Tire, I was a senior in high school. So I was kind of later to be playing midget majors. So I was just trying to go to the USHL or the NAHL and just try to maybe play out my junior age and try to get a scholarship from there. So, I didn't really have much pro hockey aspirations till I would say after my sophomore year in college.
Well, then you mentioned you wanted to go to the USHL, the North American Hockey League. What happened? Because you went from – did you go right to Western Michigan or did you spend a year
I went to Sioux Falls for a year and then went to Western Michigan for 3. So, and I didn't really – maybe I was going to get drafted after my second year. But, in hindsight, you'd rather not get drafted than get somewhere in the 7th round. So
exactly. So talk about that decision. Cause we had a couple college guys on throughout the years and most of them have a plethora of colleges offering them, throwing them scholarships left and right. What was your story? Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
Kind of a minor puck moving defenseman.
Yeah. Yeah. Not too big offensively, but I like to play a steady game. So, it was kind of early on. I was getting some looks from colleges, went on some visits and, Probably within the first month I committed to Western.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was a pretty easy sell. My brother and sister both were at Western at the time. So, I was able to commit there and go there the next year. And, Blash kind of, I said to Blash, he kind of had an easy sell with siblings already being there, family being 2 hours away. So, I got the old, you have 24 hours to say yes or no. So,
why did they do that? Because they did the same thing to me too. Do you think they just push you on the spot to pressure a young kid?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they want to really, I mean, it really like makes you make the decision whether you want to be there or not. That's my assumption. But I mean, going into that visit, it was a pretty much no brainer that I was going to commit there as long as the scholarship was right. So
any regrets though? Because you had a good year with the Sioux. Do you think you could have went to, I guess it's worked out fantastic. Yeah. But yeah, you could have went to U of M or?
No. Yeah. I mean, my mom would probably wishes I went to U of M. She was a U of M grad. But I think just the way I kind of grew up and developed, I was always a late bloomer. So going to a team like Western, we were kind of on the rise getting Andy Murray as our coach. And it gave me, I was able to play. I mean, I played every game my freshman year. So it gave me that time to develop.
Did it ever irk you that a legit college program like MTU never showed any interest and you had to kind of, I didn't want to, you know, make it sound so bad, but did it ever irk you that you know, a big time name like MTU didn't ask you to play on their team?
I think it kind of bothered me a little bit. So we played against them in the GLI, gave me that extra, I mean, I didn't really have many big schools come talk to me. I mean, I had kind of like the Bemidji States, Ferris, Western. So kind of schools kind of right up my alley where I could play right away and see what happens.
Who was the Broncos' biggest rival? Because I know at Tech, it was Northern Michigan. Did you guys, who was your team that you got up for?
I'd probably say Ferris.
Yeah.
We call it the Battle of 131 right on the – because they were in Big Rapids and I think that's what, maybe an hour and a half north of us. So that was a pretty heated rivalry. Obviously anytime you played up against, Michigan State, Michigan, those are always fun for us. I'm sure they looked down at us at that time, but
everybody looks down on you, Jordan. Exactly. It's just how it goes. But yeah. I was at Tech. I felt the same way. Anytime we go to the GLI, we play Michigan, Michigan State. And like, these guys don't even care about us. We're just like a stain on a shoe.
An easy win for them.
And it was when I was there, but not while you were there. Let's talk about your big win. Well, gosh, you stepped into WMU. You guys won the CCHA your first year. What was that due to? Was that, you mentioned Andy Murr coming in as a coach. What was that like, getting some success early on?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, it was great for our seniors. I mean, they went through, I think, three or four coaches through their tenure there. They started at the bottom of the CCHA the first 2 years, and then Blash came in, took over, and then Andy came in, and we were able to win the CCHA the first year. So, I mean, it kind of started great, and then we didn't win anything else the rest of my tenure at Western. But to be able to win the CCHA, which I grew up watching and was a big fan of, so that was really fun. And obviously all those tournaments at Joe Louis Arena, it's hard to beat.
How big was, and I don't, I'm going to talk about the GLI because this is what this show is about, but was that always the one you'd get to the schedule and you check to see if you're in the GLI, because you played in it twice, and to see who you were going to play? Was that a big deal to you, checking the schedule at the start of the season?
Yeah, all of our local guys, we were big in that GLI. I mean, it was a Christmas tournament. Everyone in Metro Detroit, go watch if you're a young kid. So I grew up going to that too. And obviously the first year we played in the GLI, we lost to your Michigan Tech Huskies.
You did. But domination.
Yeah, we did get smoked. I think it was like 1-0 or something. And then we got the better of them next year at the outdoor at Comerica, which is unusual circumstances. There was some weather delays and bad ice to get conditions, but it was a fun experience to do it out there.
So what was it like? You finish up at college, and how many teams did you had to choose from? Because like you said, you could have got drafted 7th, 8th round, who cares? But now you're a free agent. Mm-hmm. How many suitors did you have trying to bang down your door to go to the NHL now?
Yeah, just one.
What? Just yeah. Edmonton?
Yeah, just Edmonton. So
no way. Was,
yeah. So being undrafted, I mean, I was back and forth. I mean, obviously, you talk to your coaching staff, you talk to your financial, or you talk to your family representative,
family advisor. Yeah, your agent. Advisor, yeah,
your agent. And you know what? I just thought I might as well try it. You never know if you'll get another NHL deal or opportunity, and you can always go back and get your degree. So I jumped at it, and obviously, it worked out the way I was hoping. And but I did have some long years in the minors, and had to grind my way up.
Well, yeah, because it didn't work out initially. When you signed with Edmonton, did you expect, because Edmonton at that time wasn't great, right? They were still trying to find their footing. Did they just have the number one overall pick that year? They must have, because I think they had it 5 years in a row.
Yeah, I think they drafted Yakupov, and then I was there when they drafted McDavid too.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Were you like in the same rookie class, like you and Connor?
No.
No,
I think that was after my rookie year in the American League. And I remember we were down there watching, and we kind of all started laughing when the draft lottery happened and the Oilers got another first overall pick.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. So what happened? Why did you expect to jump in and play then right away? Or what were your kind of thoughts? What did they tell you?
No, they told me I was going to probably be in the minors for a year, maybe a year or two. And just trying to develop. I mean, like I said, I've been a late bloomer my whole life. So when I knew I was going to need time adjusting, and I played, I want to say 6 games my first year. So kind of a little bit more than I expected. I think I kind of had a seamless transition. I went there to Oklahoma City after my junior year to finish up their 10 games left in the season, which I think really helped going into the next year. And yeah, I had a blast down there in Oklahoma City, and even that organization was great too. So
now you've said you're a late bloomer twice. Can we just say that you're not very good initially? Because at what point do we stop being a late bloomer, Jordan? Are you still blooming to date, or have you reached your?
I haven't hit my peak yet. I'm still a late. No, I don't know.
When is the bloom gonna finish here?
Probably when the door closes and I still haven't hit my peak.
Still haven't hit every GM. I still think I'm getting better, you guys.
I think I can get better, guys.
That's so funny. So Edmonton didn't really work out, right? So you become were you a free agent again after the 2 years?
No. So I signed another year there, just a 1 year. Cause then they put in that new Group 6 UFA. Do you know about that?
To try to control you a little bit longer if you didn't have pro experience, that kind of deal.
Yeah, like if you're 25 years old after 2 contracts under 80 games or whatever.
Yeah, it is. So that fell with you. So you were there. Okay.
Yeah, so then I was able to sign out after 3 years in the organization. I was able to become a UFA technically. So,
which worked out.
Yeah, which worked out in hindsight.
And then you go to Arizona.
Then I went to Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah, I originally signed 2 years in Chicago. My first one way. Don't know.
Then you were part of a trade with friend of the show, Marian Hossa.
I was, yeah.
What? Were you just a throw in with that? How does that work?
I think I was. I mean, Chicago was trying to get rid of his salary. I think they had another 2-3 years of his salary. So they traded me and Hinostroza for... I don't, maybe a couple fifth round picks.
No, but while you were in Chicago, you did get some good playing time. And I came across something that you said, where you said playing with dunks really changed the way you play the game. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You did say that. And how does that work? Because dunks is a hard guy to play with because he's constantly moving around up in the play. He's taking chances. What was it like playing with him, and how did he help your game?
Yeah, I mean, he reads the game so good. I mean, at that time, that's kind of the defenseman I was trying to be like. You know, he wasn't the most physical. He'd eat pucks all over. He played hard, and he's as fast as can be. So being able to play with him, I just kind of was able to read off of him and just let him do his thing. And Just always be available for him, because if you weren't, you know, you're probably going to hear it from him. So, and then just try to be simple. I mean, the more crazy stuff you try to do, he wouldn't be where he was supposed to be. So,
no, he will let you know about it. And that's the thing. He's easy to play with if you just read off him, right?
And just play easy and play the way he plays. He's easy to play with. So,
if you just play his game, like you said. All right, so you finish up Chicago. You get traded to Arizona. And by this time, you're used to playing 19, 20 minutes a game. What was it like going from Chicago where, like, you're coming in, you want to win the Stanley Cup, right? Like, this is it. We got a great team. You got Kane, Taves, Keith, all these Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
And then you go to Arizona where, you know, I don't know if they're striving for a Stanley Cup as much as just like, let's see if we can keep it within a touchdown and an extra point. What was that like? Because you get to play with OEL, who's another solid defenseman. So tell us about that, where you go from, like, you know, maybe be quiet and play with Duncan Keith to now you got to take the reins of his team a little bit and have some leadership role.
Yeah. I mean, OEL is an unbelievable player. I mean, I don't know if I said this to anyone, but besides guys I played with, I mean, his skill level is off the charts. Like, as a defenseman, I mean, everyone's seen it. He's scored, 20 goals in this league once or twice before. So, going from Chicago, going into that year, we thought we were maybe going to make the playoffs, to having a bad year, and then going to Arizona where we know we're not making the playoffs, and just, I mean, like I've said with the Western Michigan, I mean, it gave me a lot of opportunity to continue developing, continue to feel comfortable and take on more roles. I mean, maybe on a better team, I'm not playing 20, 22 minutes a night, where Arizona, I'm able to play power play, penalty kill, play everything. And take on more of a not so much leadership role. We have some very good veterans there. So, but take on more on my shoulders on performing.
Well, let's talk about your time in Michigan a little bit too, or Western Michigan, excuse me. Did you have any OHL options after Bell Tire? Did you ever think about going to the major junior route?
No. I was pretty good on just trying to get a scholarship and get school paid for.
That's smart. Now, you play two games a week with Western Michigan.
Yeah.
Lots of time to grow. How important was that? Because like you said, you're a late bloomer.
Yeah.
And you need time to just get comfortable. How much time did you spend at the rink? How much time did you spend working on your game? How much time did you spend in the books? Because you didn't graduate. So obviously school wasn't a priority at that point. Did you graduate yet, Jordan?
I have not graduated yet.
Is your wife on you to get a degree? Because that's how I graduated.
She is, but isn't.
Okay. She's too busy counting the money coming in from the NHL. Once that dries up, maybe she'll say, you know what?
And then she's going to say, what are you doing on the couch?
What about for the next 30 years? But let's talk about the training, because I don't think people understand how much time you get to train and practice and grow your game in college. How much did that help you?
Yeah. I mean, you're practicing 4 days a week hard, like 2 hours on the ice. You're working out for an hour and a half. Like I say to some of these guys, I go, I could not go back to do that college lifestyle ever again. I mean, it's a grind. You're up from 6 a.m. till 11 p.m. if you're doing your homework.
And it's Olympic weightlifting too. Did you guys do all Olympic stuff? Because we did attack.
Like, our testing was like cleans as heavy as you can, front squat, back squat, like bench press. It's like, I can't lift that much weight even if I tried to right now. Like, that stuff you're lifting is insane.
It's amazing the different, because like you mentioned, it's all heavy weights in college. Yeah. Then you go to the pros and it's more just, you know, plyometrics and just all this stuff. And it's like, we'll do the wind gate, we'll do this stuff to begin the season, but you're not lifting heavy weights. It couldn't be further apart as far as preparation goes. And I don't know why. Do you know why?
I don't know why either. I have no idea.
I wasn't. wasn't upset when I went to the pros and they gave me my training book. I'm just like, okay, I do five sets of 15, but it says a manageable weight, rather it's just like six sets of three and it's like max out. That's what it was in college.
Yeah. Try to bench 300 pounds if you can. Like,
we always had with tech, we would have our testing at the beginning of the year. Everybody's showing off and you would have to put up your body weight. Uh-huh. I weighed 255 pounds, 260 pounds. My first 3 years, I couldn't do it once. And my fourth year, I was coming in. I didn't care. So I just like literally bounced it off my chest and douched it up there. But I'm not a big weightlifter. You know what I mean? I could squat a truck, but bench. You were probably a late bloomer. So your junior year, you probably started to set some records.
No, I wasn't setting any records in the weight room.
Not yet. You're still blooming.
I'm still, maybe when I'm retired, I'll become a Olympic lifter or something.
You and Zdeno Chara, you guys can just start your own weightlifting program. All right, now you're with Detroit. Got out of Arizona, thankfully. And I played for Arizona too. Don't get me wrong. Love Arizona.
This Christmas at Asda, you can save a third on a fantastic range of quality wines. There's something for everyone, including champagne, sparkling, red, white, and rosé wines. Cheers to that. Selected Asda stores online, subject to availability. 75cl offer ends 1st of January. Drink aware.
This Christmas, why not give someone a scratch card?
You know what's great is a last minute gift.
Yeah.
Scratch cards.
We've got a tradition. We hide them in the crackers that we've made. So we put a scratch card in each of those.
Oh, wicked.
Do you scratch it all off at once or do you do like section by section?
Yeah, bit by bit.
To build up the tension.
Yeah.
Sort of like, ooh, next square, ooh. Yeah. It's such a great gift.
Yeah, it's fun.
Gift the scratch card with the National Lottery. Please gift responsibly. Rules and procedures apply. Plus must be 18 or over.
Maybe don't have the will to win as other GMs. They don't spend to the cap. They got a lot of just dead money. Everybody knows that. You move on to Detroit. Oh, what a dream. Did you seek out Detroit? Did you want to go back to Detroit? Bell Tire, Western Michigan University, born in Dearborn Heights. The guy's got a Detroit tattoo on the back. Did you seek out the Red Wings? Was that one of your places you wanted to play?
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, I definitely told my agent if there was ever an opportunity in free agency last summer that Detroit ever called or anything happened to kind of make that their sole focus. And obviously if the fit was there and everything was going to be fine, but I got married that summer and then we were able to come back home. And like every young kid is, I mean, you grew up watching him. So to be able to put that jersey on, I mean, it means the world. And I don't take it for granted. So
scenario last off season, you're UFA. Detroit gives you the offer, 2 years, 2.7. Tampa Bay wants you.
That'd be nice. Could I get that now?
2 years, 2.8. More money to go to Tampa. Or was it 3 years, 2.7?
Where?
What'd you get for Detroit?
I got 2 years. 2 years, 2.7.
That's what I said. Yeah. Tampa offers you 3 years at $4 million. You go to Tampa or do you still go to Detroit? Don't answer that question. I don't want to get you in trouble.
I won't answer that. Maybe that will be in play this summer, hopefully.
Oh, maybe. But you come to Detroit, what's it like? And then you get to talk to probably your childhood idol, I would imagine, Stevie Yzerman. What was that like negotiating with him? You're just like, I'll take whatever, Stevie.
League minimum, Steve. I'll take it.
But was that neat kind of talking to him? Because it's Steve Yzerman. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty surreal once I got the chance to talk to him and meet him. I mean, you're kind of in awe of him. And he's got that aura about him that's just, he's just a winner and just a guy you don't want to let down either. I mean, he's a tough guy. So
is he intimidating to be around?
I think once you get past, once you meet him a couple of times and have a conversation, some conversations, but I mean, at the end of the day, he's still Stevie Y. And, but no, he's really easy to talk to and, everyone gets along great with them. So
is he around? Because I know in Chicago, Bowman was never around. I know in Arizona, Maloney was very rarely seen. Is he around quite a bit?
Yeah, he's around. He's around a lot. Which I think he likes. I feels like he likes to establish those relationships with players and, kind of be hands on. So, I mean, if he wasn't social, it would be kind of more intimidating, but I mean, you can sit there and have lunch with him after practices and stuff. So he's good.
He's a good dude. Let's talk about this season. Going okay.
Yeah. We're
so far so good, kind of.
Yeah, I'd say we've kind of hit some rough patches. Just with some, I think we've had maybe like 3-4 game losing streaks, which, you know, obviously you try to close those out, because when it comes to if we're able to get in playoffs, that's not a good implication. So, but yeah, I think we're overachieving, and like Newsy says, and, you know, we got a lot of injuries up front right now. So we're trying to battle through those and get some of those guys back soon.
Lots of new faces this year, obviously. Transition, it happens in the NHL. What's it like? You got Larkin, you got Copper, you got Perron, you got friend of the show, Mo Sider, you got the big mountain of a man, Soderblom. What's the vibe in the locker room like? Because you have people from all over the world. Stevie Wise scouting like the planet.
Oh, yeah. What's it like? Yeah, it's good. I mean, the mood in the room is good. The guys click well. I mean, Larks is an unbelievable captain. He gets the guys together and builds that team chemistry early on, which goes a long way in teams. And you know what? I think half of it comes down to this year. I think obviously getting Newsy, he's implemented some good systems that help us play better defensively. The guys that have been here, like the Larks, the Burts, Baronix, Fabry, yeah. I think they're guys are just tired of losing. You know, that winning aura around the Red Wings that have been there for 25 years straight playoff runs. Mm-hmm. So I think guys are wanting to get this team back in the right direction and organization. And we're close with obviously the signings that Steve brought in this summer. So it should make for an interesting year.
It should. I hope you guys pull it off. I think you're going to make the playoffs. I predicted you guys in, Tampa Bay out. I'll be frank. I did. So don't let me down. All right. We'll circle back. We'll finish up with the GLI. You got MTU, obviously the perennial favorites. I think they're the defending champions. You got the Broncos, who I think they just let in. I don't know why, but it doesn't matter. They're in. We got Ferris State, and we got the big University of Michigan Wolverines. What do we expect? Who's going to come home with the title here?
Have they said who's playing in game one yet? Do we know?
I don't know yet, but I assume Michigan Tech is going to play the Broncos.
Yeah, so I would say that's probably an easy win for Western.
Well, the reason they do that is because they want an MTU U of M finals. Because the two teams that are the odd ones out are obviously the Broncos. What a stupid name for a school. And then the Bulldogs. So they want the Huskies and the Wolverines in the finals. But anyway, who do you think is going to take it home? Do you honestly think the Broncos are going to take it home?
Realistically, yeah, I do think the Broncos are going to take it home. I mean, okay. I haven't really followed Michigan Tech too much, but I don't think they've won many games this year.
You don't look at the top 15 teams in the country?
No, I do, and I keep seeing Western.
Yeah, Tech's right up there. They were 12 last time I checked. Yeah, they're pretty good. Wow. They're pretty good. They got Joe Sean coaching. I think they won the CCHA a couple of years ago, but anyway, I don't know. I don't know.
Is that the new Jordan? Or is that the old one?
It's the new one. It's the new one. The better one, as we like to call it. The better one.
They were allowed in the old CCHA.
They were in the WCHA when I was there. And I'm glad we switched over, because we would just get shellacked in the old WCHA. Like, I'm talking.
It'd be pretty sweet if they went back to the old CCHA but added all the Michigan schools, you know.
It'd be beautiful. I don't know why they don't do that.
They're just flying around every weekend.
It's so dumb. Well, it's all for money, right? Because you can't. It's not sexy to play Lake State.
Yeah, it's all because the Big Ten.
It is the Big Ten. It's just a lot of money. We'll probably just edit this whole part out, because I don't know if they want us talking about that. But I agree. I agree. It should be all Michigan. There's enough good teams here. And then you have the fillers like Western to kind of just fill the ranks. Who is any other NHL alumni from the Western Michigan University Broncos?
Oh, yeah. We have Luke Wachowski, Matt Tennyson.
Tenny. I played with Tenny.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where is that?
San Jose.
Yeah. Okay.
He's not very good.
He is a bomb of a shot.
He does. Never hits the net.
Danny DeKaiser.
Oh, Danny.
Local Michigan boy.
Detroit guy.
No.
Yeah, he had a big contract. That really worked out.
Mm-hmm. He got a lot of money.
He did. Did you ever hear the story about a guy who lived up in Michigan, in Michigan Tech? He, Jeff Finger, he played for Colorado. Toronto offer sheeted him, but they thought they were getting somebody else for Colorado.
No way.
And he signed the contract right away. And then he gets to Toronto and they're like, we didn't want you. We wanted the other guy. I think, I can't remember who the other guy's name was, but it was close.
That's hilarious.
And he made like $4 million a year and he got it for like 4 or 5 years. Yeah. One of the bigger oofs in NHL history.
That would be nice.
That's way before your time. You're still a baby. That's probably when you were 10 that happened.
Yeah.
But anyways, all right, Jordan, I got nothing else. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I don't think so. I think the Broncos got it.
All right, man. Well, I hope you can come and check out a game. It's in Grand Rapids this year.
Yeah, I heard. That's a weird change of venue. But
well, the Red Wings didn't want to give up their rink because they're prima donnas. They're like, we don't want anybody skating on our ice. It's going to ruin our ice. So it's a whole Red Wings thing. So that's why.
Okay.
Are you on the Red Wings?
I am.
You are. Yeah. You should maybe look into that. It's. I don't want to throw stones, Jordan, but it's probably your fault.
It was me saying I don't want the Huskies coming down to Detroit.
That might be the actual reason. But anyways, man, thank you for coming on. It was a pleasure. I appreciate everything. Good luck the rest of the way. I honestly hope you make the playoffs. I think you guys, once you get healthy, you'll be fine. Hey, how's Nedeljkovic, another friend of the show?
Is he? He's good.
You guys need more goalies there? You just pick up this Hellberg guy? How many goalies are we going to have?
Three right now. Yeah, we have three right now.
I think you could only play one guy at a time. I don't know what Stevie Y's doing. He's got something up his sleeve.
He has something up his sleeve for sure.
I thought they were going to trade. I still think this. One of them will go to Toronto.
Really?
But I know you can't speculate because Toronto, they've been playing good of late, but I don't trust those two guys. I don't.
Yeah, I don't think we want to give anyone to Toronto.
No. If you could go to one team, who would you go to? Don't answer it, Jordan. Detroit, we already know the answer.
Right, you already know the answer.
All right, man. It was a pleasure. Hit me up when you come to Traverse this summer. We'll have a couple beers. If you drink. I don't know if you drink.
I do. Big fan of some beer.
Me too. What about wine? Do you like wine?
We got into some wine. We went to Napa last summer, so I tried to get it. But I'm still just wine, kind of. I tried to get more into it, but I don't have the palate yet.
Do you do the rookie party where everyone orders an expensive wine and you taste it and it's just like, this just tastes like wine?
I don't know. I just stick to beer. And maybe.
Where'd you guys have the party this year at?
This year we had it out in LA.
Oh, that's pricey.
That was a good spot.
That's an expensive one. I remember we had one in Dallas and they busted out this wine. The guy opening was like shaking. He's like, I've always wanted to open this.
I just hope the cork comes out.
Yeah. And it was just like, it tasted like a Costco wine. I just didn't even care. And the guy was like, we like just chugged it. He didn't even, he was so mad. He's like, you stupid, dumb hockey players. All right, Jordan. Well, listen, man, I don't want to take up more of your time. Thank you again. Have a good one. And we will see you around. Cheers, everybody.
Thanks for having me, John.
No problem, man. That was excellent.
Yeah, that's fun.
That was a lot of fun. Hey, I hope you guys do make the playoffs. I really do. I think you got a good team.
Yeah, I hope we do too.
Just stop losing.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Delivered by DoorDash.
This Christmas at Asda, you can save a third on a fantastic range of quality wines. There's something for everyone, including champagne, sparkling, red, white, and rosé wines. Cheers to that. Selected Asda stores and lines subject to availability. 75cl offer ends 1st of January. Drink aware.
What makes a masterpiece? For L'Or coffee artists, it's the desire to create beauty in every sip of L'Or coffee. The finest, most unique flavors and the richest, deepest aromas. Artfully blended so you can enjoy a moment of pure coffee pleasure. L'Or, a masterpiece in taste. To find out more, please visit loreespresso.com and use the code podcast30 for 30% off the L'Or coffee products range. Offer valid until the 31st of December, 2024.